We're in Worldview Evangelism Counseling number 5. We're going to be taking a look at epistemology. And epistemology is one of those 6-syllable words. It's a pretty long word that we don't really use very often. And it may be a word that is hard to keep a clear understanding of what it is. Epistemology is basically the study of knowledge and how we know what we know. So when we take a look at the word epistemology, a lot of times when I come across words that are hard to remember, I find a word within the word that helps me remember what the word means. So for instance, epistemology seems to be similar to the word epistle. And the word epistle is something that Paul wrote. Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament. So in order to understand what epistemology is, take one of Paul's epistles, the Epistle of Romans. If we're going to take a look at the Epistle of Romans from a natural human perspective, how do we know what the book of Romans says, and how do we verify that what we read there and how we understand it is true? So with epistemology, it's the knowledge and verification of knowledge. We come to the text of Romans from a natural perspective. We use reason, logic, life experience. We understand the historical context of the letter, the original language being Koine Greek, understanding the semantics, word usage, sentence structure, syntax, grammar. We can appeal to commentaries. We can look at journal articles. There's all sorts of ways from a human natural standpoint that we can understand the book of Romans, gain knowledge of the book of Romans, and to verify that our conclusions are accurate and true. That's from the natural perspective, but there's also a supernatural perspective when it comes to epistemology, from God to the author, who is Paul himself. The supernatural aspect of Scripture is through the means of inspiration by the Holy Spirit. God spoke through his prophets. God spoke through the apostles. When we read Scripture, yes, the author is writing every word that they're saying, but every word that they are writing has been inspired by the Holy Spirit as well. So Scripture is a supernatural book. It starts from God and works its way down to humanity through the means of inspiration by the Holy Spirit. To understand and to comprehend Scripture, supernatural illumination is needed, and it's given through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So the believer who has believed in faith and has received the Holy Spirit read Scripture through the eyes of faith. And this is a key point to Christian metaphysics, Christian epistemology, that when we read something, when we're reading Scripture, we're not just using natural logic, natural reason, experience, original language. We're not just using those tools, but those tools only come about after we understand that the letter is an inspired document from God himself, that the Holy Spirit has inspired the author, and that the true understanding and experience of Scripture comes by the way of the indwelling Holy Spirit through the eyes of faith. So understanding what Christian epistemology is. How do we know what we know? Well, we want to think God's thoughts after him. How do we verify we know what we know? Scripture interprets Scripture. No human being is above the text. No church is above the text. No denomination is above the text. The text sits above all things because it's inspired by God. We as human beings recognize and understand and interpret what God has said through his Holy Spirit by the author. Without the supernatural aspect of Scripture, we don't have a complete epistemology. So this is where it's important to know and understand the epistemology of other worldviews. So for instance, how would an atheist come to know and come to interpret the text of Romans? Atheists don't believe in God. Atheists don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They reject inspiration. They reject the indwelling Holy Spirit. They reject the fact that God has any aspect whatsoever in biblical interpretation because God simply doesn't exist. So When an atheist comes to the text, he's going to reject every aspect of the supernatural, and he's only going to use the natural. He's only going to use the means by which a human being comes to the text and reads it. So the atheist will use reason. They will use logic. They will use experience. They will understand the history and the context. They will even understand the language it was written in, grammar, the syntax, and also consult commentaries and journal articles, but mostly of those who also hold to a non-authoritative belief in Scripture that there is no God who has inspired it. So an atheist would interpret the book of Romans purely through natural human means. So the next question is, how would a Hindu or a Buddhist or a pantheist come to know and interpret the text? And it's interesting because people who are involved in these religions and also the New Age, all of these have a same type of pantheistic foundation, they read Scripture. They're familiar with it. They understand it. They memorize it. But when they read Scripture, they read it in two phases. The first phase is what's known as the exoteric phase, the external. So the words themselves. What are the words on the page saying? What do they mean? That's the exoteric level. But that's just the surface level. The second phase that they read is the esoteric, or what's known as the hidden or inner meaning of the text, the occult interpretation of the text. The Bible just doesn't mean what it says at plain value. There's a hidden meaning behind it. And that's what's known as the esoteric meaning. The esoteric meaning, according to a Hindu or a Buddhist or somebody who practices theosophy, the esoteric is where the true source, where the truth is, where it really lies. The exoteric, not so much. So according to the pantheist, you have the exoteric and the esoteric, with the esoteric holding much more weight than the exoteric. So then the question is how do Christians come to know and interpret the text? So we have our three worldviews here, the atheist, the pantheist, and the monotheistic Christian. How does the Christian come to know and interpret the text? We include all the above. First, from God himself. Through his Holy Spirit, by the means of inspiration to the author of the text. So if we're looking at Romans, it's Paul. We understand and comprehend the text through supernatural illumination, which is given to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So when we read Romans, we have the eyes of faith. Now, from the eyes of faith, we have our natural processes, reason, logic, life experience, history, the original languages, semantics, grammar, and we can also consult commentaries and journal articles and secondary sources. So how do we know what we know as Christians, and how do we verify what we know? Well, we want to think God's thoughts after him. We want to think like God thinks. And we have to start with the biblical God, the fact that he inspired through his Holy Spirit, and that the author is writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and without the supernatural assistance through spiritual illumination of the Holy Spirit, we will not know the text like we should. So shifting back to epistemology then, what is epistemology? It's two words combined, episteme, which means knowledge, and logos, which means word or discourse. So the study of nature and limits of human knowledge. True belief with an account, with justification, and with warrant. So how do we know what we know? If you're looking at epistemology from a philosophical lens, it needs to account, it needs to have justification, it needs to have warrant. So the question is, to what extent is knowledge possible? Or is knowledge even possible to begin with? Epistemology asks questions like, how do we even come to know anything at all? Who sets the standards and who sets the boundaries for knowledge? Who is the authority over knowledge? Is it God, according to the monotheist, according to the Christian? Is it humanity, which the atheist would say? Or is it a spiritual hierarchy, which somebody who practices the occult or is in a pantheistic religion would believe? Christians interpret the information in according with a set of background beliefs. So does the atheist, so does the pantheist. We all interpret knowledge through a framework of our presuppositions. In our Western academic philosophy, religious belief is understood to be unreasonable and is viewed with condescension or even contempt. So in our Western academies, if you come in starting with the supernatural, starting with the existence of the biblical God, saying God inspired this work through his Holy Spirit, that's heavily frowned upon. Religion is simply a refuge, according to them, for those who out of weak intellect and character are unable to confront the harsh reality of this world. So any type of Christian monotheistic interpretation, according to today's Western academic standards, is seen as a crutch. It's laughed at. It's not taken seriously, which we would expect. But common epistemological questions then. What are some common questions that epistemology raises? Some of these questions are, what is the nature of truth and objectivity? What is the nature of belief and knowledge? What is the relationship between belief and knowledge? And can we know something and yet not believe it? What are the standards that justify beliefs? So in order to justify what we believe in, what standards have to be met? How do we know what we know? What is the proof or evidence that is acceptable to believe something? What are the proper procedures for science and discovery? When we gather information, how is it to be evaluated? What are the standards that we use to evaluate information? Are people who hold to certain beliefs considered to be irrational? And if so, on what basis do we make that judgment? Have your passions, however admirable they may be, may your passions ever override your sound judgment in a case and perhaps other cases as well? Or have your passions instead given you powers of moral perception that you were lacking in your other people who are evaluating the same thing? So in other words, do your passions help you or do they hinder you in your quest for knowledge? Where did the rules of good intellectual discussion come from? Do any rules even exist? And if so, who sets these rules? Is there agreement in academic world, philosophy, and faith-based organizations as to the understanding of right reason? So right reason, how would the academic world define right reason? How would the academic world define right experience and right understanding and right ways to evaluate what they have collected? Same thing with the philosophical community. According to them, what is right reason? And then we go to faith-based organizations. What would they determine to be right reason? And what are the presuppositions behind this? What is the rationale that they are using to come to their conclusion of right reason? Another question is what if instead of answering the religious skeptics' demand for more evidence, a person was to argue that one may be perfectly rational in believing in God in the absence of evidence? So, for example, the atheist is always looking for evidence of the historical Jesus, evidence for miracles, evidence for the resurrection, evidence, evidence, evidence. What if the Christian were to turn around and say, all we need is God's word as evidence and we don't need anything else? Must all of the things I believe be supported by evidence? So questions, what is evidence? How much evidence is necessary? Is evidence even necessary? And who decides this? Who gives the value to evidence? In what circumstances is a person intellectually irresponsible in accepting a belief? So, for instance, if I can use the example of Santa Claus and an Easter bunny, at what age is it irresponsible for an individual to continue to believe in Santa Claus, the Easter bunny, or the tooth fairy? Same thing with God. The atheist will ask, at what point does a human being come to the conclusion that God doesn't exist? But then at the same time, Christians ask that same question. At what time does a child have a thorough an objective understanding of the reality of God and their salvation? So both sides ask this question. What are the minimal requirements of rationality that all our beliefs must satisfy, and who determines this? Another question is, should everyone accept the same standards across the board? And if so, who imposes these standards? Even the definition of knowledge is a serious epistemological issue. So how does knowledge and belief work together? Do we need knowledge to believe? If so, how much? How is belief to be determined? How do we know it's not just conjecture or false? And how do we know our beliefs are sound? And other questions, where does information come from and where does knowledge come from? So all of these questions are epistemological questions that every philosophy, every worldview, every belief system has and tries to answer. So every system of thought has its own authority upon which it rests. Every system of thought has its own basis for self-sufficiency, so its own authority or its own starting point. For a rationalist, it's human reason. For an irrationalist, it's through feeling and human will, because an irrationalist will say reason is incapable of knowing and understanding. So a rationalist will embrace reason, where an irrationalist will not. An irrationalist will embrace feeling and human will. Somebody who is an idealist will say that reality is conceived in the human mind and that material objects are not where they are, where information is at, or it's even they've come to believe that material objects aren't even real. Everything that is real is in the mind. An empiricist relies upon sensory experience, so touch, sight, hearing. A subjectivist is somebody who finds knowledge within themselves. No external authority. Everything is subjective to each person's opinion. An existentialist is somebody who uses subjective experiences of feeling, acting, and thinking. So again, an existentialist is somebody who does not allow an external source to define who they are. Rather, it's the individual themselves who determines their own selves and their own knowledge. Secular humanism, their source of authority begins and starts with humanity being the center point of all existence. So morals and philosophy, everything starts from the human perspective. In Christian theism starts with the existence of the biblical God. So an easy way to remember this is Christian theism believes that faith in God's word alone is certainty. Everything but faith in God's word is subject to doubt. And Jesus Christ is the certainty of faith in God's word. So God exists. He's always existed. Everything flows from him. Everything is interpreted through him. And if we don't have God's perspective on something, if it's just a human opinion, that is subject to doubt unless Scripture has given it clarity. And Jesus Christ himself is the certainty of our faith through his personal revelation here on earth and through his resurrection and ascension. So in Christian theology, epistemology corresponds with divine revelation. So if we're looking at the three commonly held worldviews, atheism, pantheism, and monotheism in the Christian community, epistemology relies upon divine revelation from God. Now, revelation is defined as the personal, supernatural act of God's self-communication, by which he actively makes himself and his will known to man. So we are students of his word. We know about God because he has revealed himself to us through his word. God is the one who sets the standards for all things. Humanity discovers what God has prescribed for us. We have knowledge of God and the world revealed to us through these three basic means: through general revelation, through special revelation, and through personal incarnate revelation. We receive this knowledge, we do not discover this knowledge. What is general revelation? General revelation simply is the creation, nature, what we know God about from nature, We see it in Romans chapter 1. Those who do not have the Word of God understand God exists by the very creation that is around. They know God exists, and they are aware of this truth. They know of Him, but they suppress that truth in unrighteousness. General revelation by itself proves that God exists, but we do not know the will of God through general revelation. We just know that He exists, and that He's eternal, and that He has the divine power to create. So from general revelation, we go to special revelation. Special revelation is God's inspired word. It's the 66 books that we have in the Bible. What God has inspired and preserved for us to have today. God's will on paper. And thirdly, personal or incarnate revelation is Jesus Christ Himself on earth revealing who God is, the will of God. He's the exact imprint of who the Father is. So we receive this knowledge. We do not discover this knowledge. We are passive here, not active. It is God who dictates to us what reality is. It is God who tells us about metaphysics. It is God who tells us about knowledge and how we know what we know and how we verify what we know. So God is God over epistemology as well. And God is the one who determines what is right and wrong based upon His own moral character. We do not come up with any of this on our own. We are to interpret the world around us through God's general and special revelation. We do not determine this or define what this is. We don't determine metaphysics. We don't define metaphysics. We discover metaphysics through God's word. We don't determine epistemology. We discover epistemology. God gives us the tools. God gives us the knowledge. Everything is through Him. It's not by our own reason. It's not by our own intellect. It's not by our own wisdom. And it's not by our own experience. Now, these things are not wrong in and of themselves, just as long as they are subject to and submissive to God's special revelation in all areas. Not one single fact in this universe can be known or can even be truly known by humanity without the existence of God and His revelation to us.